From henceforth now saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their works follow them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today we again have the monthly Requiem Mass for our purgatorial society. Many of the souls enrolled in this society are our dearly beloved friends and relatives. And when we remember that the loss of life in this life is not really a loss, but a transition to the new, everlasting life, we realize how merciful God has been, giving us the chance to love Him in this life by our own free will. And when we mourn the loss of our dear ones, we can think them as flowers. They were too fragrant to stay in this world of tears, so the heavenly gardener transplanted them in his own garden in heaven. Even though they are dead, they still live here through the fragrance of their good example. Instead of a tale, I'll tell you today a true story of a girl named Irene Koster, who is known as the Little Flower of Kenosha. About 40 miles south from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where our St. Hugh of Lincoln Parish is located, lies a city named Kenosha. Myself and Father Nkamuke have visited this town because it has a big Civil War museum there, and Kenosha, Wisconsin, was also the home of Irene Koster. This Catholic schoolgirl was born in 1925, 2 months after her father had died in pneumonia, and she was baptized on May 17, 1925, the same day as Saint Therese of Lisieux, the little flower, was canonized. Because little Irene's mother was too poor to care all by herself, Irene and her older brother, they were given to the loving care of her uncle and aunt. Irene was a bright and brilliant child who, at the age of 5, entered St. George Catholic School in Kenosha, which was under the care of nuns named Notre Dame Sisters. When she was in school, Irene never cared about notice or publicity, but everybody always did take notice of her because she was just different. She was so lovable and simple, and she always came to school with all her assignments prepared, her work always neatly and correctly done. She also loved silence, and the only time when her voice was heard was when she was asked something in the class. At home, Irene always blessed herself with holy water before going to bed and kissed her Sacred Heart plague every night before falling asleep, and under her pillow she had a mission crucifix. Then in the morning she arose eagerly, waiting the chance to start her day with daily Mass. After she made her first Holy Communion, she went to Communion every day. On many mornings she did not feel very well, and her concerned aunt wanted her to eat or drink something hot for her breakfast. But then she could not have gone to Communion in the morning Mass, and she answered, "If I received Holy Communion, it will cure me more quickly and more surely." The first symptoms of her illness were red spots on her face. First they thought it was simply a rash, but when it spread to different parts of her body and did not go away by treatment, they became concerned. Another time Irene fainted during Mass, which caused quite much concern, but they thought that was probably because in her fervor for Holy Communion she again missed her breakfast. But then she got such a burning fever, so she had to be taken to hospital. This happened in April when she was in 7th grade, and two of the St. George school sisters went up to hospital to see Irene. To encourage her, they told her that her place was waiting for her in the eighth grade. She showed no signs of enthusiasm, though, and after the sisters left, she asked her mother, "How could they pass me to the eighth grade? Why, I have not written any tests." In school, Irene had always worked very hard for everything she got, and she would not take any credits which she did not really earn. Her mother explained that the good sisters had promoted her on the good work she had done up to her illness. But Irene was not at all convinced. "I want to earn my promotion to the eighth grade," she said, true to her honest self. She suffered very much in the last 3 weeks of her illness, and she had many sores in her body, and her eyes were nearly closed as a result of the swelling. Day and night a nurse was at her bedside, as well as one from her family. Often her sores had to be treated with hot applications, which the nurse would put on them, hoping to save this little precious life. Through it all, she bore up like Christ's own little martyr, offering all her sufferings to the Sacred Heart. When asked by the priest whether she would be willing to die if Jesus wanted her, and whether she was suffering all for Jesus, she said, "Yes, all for Jesus." In due time, Irene made her last confession and received extreme unction. She was so happy to receive this sacrament, as she had been happy to receive her first Holy Communion, because now she was prepared for her home going. She had only one request to make to her family, that they should give her up, because she knew that God wanted her and she was willing to leave this world for her heavenly home. But Irene's family loved her so much, and it was hard for them to part from this treasure of theirs. She had lost a great deal of blood as a result of hemorrhages and bleedings, so when it was suggested that a blood transfusion might give a chance to save her, her uncle readily volunteered to donate blood for her to save this young life. But God had received the sacrifice of this loving little child, and even though the blood transfusion helped a little, it could not save her. Her good mother and loving uncle and aunt resigned themselves to her loss. They had left nothing undone to save this precious life for God's service, and her holy death happened on June 25, 1937, while the priest was at her bedside reciting the prayers for the dying. Those who saw her body at the wake never forgot the peace which shone on her face, which just recently had been racked by intense agony. God had changed her unheard of sufferings into never-ending joys. You see, children, the death is always a departure of a soul from his dear ones, but it is never the end of life, but the beginning of everlasting life. We have to give them up, our dear ones, like Irene Koster's family had to do. But we have not given them to death, but to the care of Almighty God. Make sure, children, you do your daily duties well. You work hard and pray for yourself, your parents, and your friends every day, as well as your beloved dead. This way, when you have to give them up to God, God will also remember you when you, like little Irene, are called to your heavenly home. May God bless you.